You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Beginning with your study, it is mentioned that 60% of participants actively ignore news, and a major reason being given is that news had a negative impact on their mood. Do you believe this is a case of the news media choosing to favour covering negative or distressing news, or a neutral sentiment within the New Zealand population?
Negativity sells. You know, that's always been the case in the media. You know, an alarming headline tends to do better than a more measured headline. And also, you know, a lot of the news is unfortunately negative, whether it's Palestine, Israel, climate crisis, the cost of living crisis, the fact that many young people may struggle to own a home. I mean, sometimes the world is depressing and the news does reflect that. That being said, I think these results do show that the news can maybe take a more positive focus when they can, and maybe there could be an attempt to rebalance sometimes the coverage of the news. So it's a bit of both, I think. Negativity sells, and editors know that, and that's why they make editorial decisions focus on negative headlines, because they are under commercial pressure to sell newspapers or to get more eyeballs on their online articles, but they could also focus on positive stuff as well.
The report also mentions that young people aged 18 to 24 choose to avoid the news because they don't have time for such things. Do you believe that social media may have a part to play in how the youth receive their news?
Well, absolutely. If you think about how the news landscape has changed in the last couple of decades, the key change has been social media. You know, from the early 2000s, Facebook and Google have emerged and created these new products, searching for information, social networking, and they have changed the media landscape, created these really popular products, and that's where a lot of people are. Instead of reading the news, they're on social media, and they have contributed to the sheer volume of information that is available to us now. You know, there is something called intentional news avoidance, where we go out of our way to turn off the news. There's also something called unintentional news avoidance, which is where you're not going out of your way to avoid the news. You're just simply consuming something else, whether that's entertainment or something. You're just scrolling social media. You're seeing what your friends are up to. You're catching up with, you know, what someone else is up to that you follow. That is probably replacing news. So it's definitely playing a factor.
So there have been some words such as doom scroll and bed rot, increasingly used to describe apathy and hopelessness within a new young generation. Do you think that the rise of endless consumption via social media has led young people to decide to abandon news altogether, and also potentially the future?
I think these terms are kind of fun. They sort of sound pejorative by default. You know, doom scrolling or bed rotting. I think that can also mean something else. I mean, I read a really great article published in the Spin-off yesterday, I believe, but it was about how bed rotting has often been a gendered practice, something that women do as a result of managing the kind of care labour that they're often burdened with as being women, and those kind of sort of expectations that are placed on women to do. And bed rotting is a way to kind of, you know, create a space for yourself to manage your feelings and that sense of being overwhelmed by what's going on, whether it's in your social lives or maybe also we can include the going on in the world. You know, think about how younger people are facing a different reality than their parents' generation or other generations. You know, we can access so much more information than previous generations. So maybe these terms, bed rotting and doom scrolling, are a way to encapsulate how we deal with that. You know, there's this amazing quote by a academic called Richard Wernham back in the 80s, and he said something to the effect of, someone living in the 17th century was exposed to far less information than one person reading the front page of the New York Times. And this was in the 80s, you know, so even a newspaper in the 80s had more information than someone living in the 17th century did for their whole life. You know, maybe he's overstating that point, but the point is that there is so much information that we can access, and it can be overwhelming. And I think young people in particular are finding ways to deal with that. And maybe bed rotting, although it sounds like a pejorative, is just a way to kind of make sense and sort of deal with the sense of being overwhelmed.
Do you believe that because of political issues such as economic uncertainty, coupled with loss of certainty within governments, being additionally amplified by news media, people are tuning out of news and political news in general?
Yes, I think so. We are living in great uncertain times. Some of the reasons I said before, and as you've just said, whether it's the economics, the fact that young people don't know if they'll ever be able to own a home or what kind of future are we heading towards with the climate crisis, multiple wars. You know, people talk about a poly crisis, many crises happening at the same time. And that's definitely anxiety inducing. And how do we deal with uncertainty? We often distract ourselves and we turn to our comforts, and that's often social media. So this is also true, you know, we need to be kind to ourselves and not always be productive, but at the same time probably realize that we turn to our devices because they can be comfortable. And that's important. We need our comfort. But there's also other ways, I think, to face uncertainty and to take a sense of control over your life. And that sometimes also probably putting the phone down and doing other stuff.
Do you believe that this avoidance of the news is related to an encouraged idiom of escapism?
Yeah, well, this question made me think a lot. It made me think of a famous book written by a less known but important writer who wrote about its utopia. So we all know about George Orwell, right, who wrote 1984 and theorized about Big Brother, the government, taking away your freedom by watching you at all times. People don't know as much about Aldous Huxley, who wrote an equally scary book called A Brave New World. And in this book, the government hasn't taken away your freedom. It gives you more freedom, so much freedom. And people are actually imprisoned by having a surplus of freedom to do whatever they want. And they just seek a life of entertainment and escapism. And nothing ever serious is ever done. And it's an equally scary dystopia that I think kind of diagnoses the problems with a lot of Western countries. You know, we have a lot of freedom. That's not really the issue, although people on the right will disagree. They'll look at Orwell's diagnosis. But I think that the more kind of poignant diagnosis of society is that we have a lot of freedom, and that's a great thing, but we also have a lot of distraction, a lot of entertainment, a lot of endless escapism. So that can distract us from maybe the important issues. I think it's a really effective diagnosis of the problems today. And yeah, lots of people don't have to read the news because they can follow the, you know, fallout between Drake and Kendrick Lamar instead, or whatever other, you know, pop culture distractions there are. And so that's definitely, I think, a problem that a lot of Western countries are facing. And I don't know if there's any silver bullets or easy solutions, but, you know, we live in a world where we have ample comforts and distractions, and sometimes that can distract us from what's important.
Jürgen Habermas's theory of the public sphere describes itself as a place where journalists can influence the audience, which then drives voters based on that media coverage. If you agree with this theory, what is your predicted future of such a sphere?
Well, the public sphere, is it a public sphere? You know, the likes of Twitter or now X or Facebook, they arguably create these public spheres now, right? But are they public, or are they commercially orientated? You know, Facebook and X, they are designed to promote a certain type of discourse where we yell at each other, or we are forced to give our thoughts in such a limited way. And that's done to, you know, prioritize engagement, prioritize time on the platform. These are commercial imperatives. So my question is it a public sphere, or are we asked to inhabit private spheres for profit, for private gain? And it's that is harming discourse. So I don't believe that these social media spaces are public spheres. Maybe RNZ is, because that is a public interest journalism space. I know it's not free without its criticism, but it doesn't have to operate on a for-profit model. So it's more of a public sphere in my view. So that's my biggest issue with this idea of the public sphere, is that it's not really being operated like a public sphere. It's being run more as a business, and that is causing harm.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.